Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
Welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. This is episode 3. I'm your host, Kalai, and today I'm joined by Joe. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, what's up, guys?
And we have a new addition to our podcast. We have The Grounded Gamer. How you doing today, Grounded Gamer?
Doing fantastic.
It's wonderful to have you today. And let's start off as we always start off. Joe, let's start off with you. What have you been playing this week?
A lot of stuff. First off, I have been playing a lot of Fire Emblem Awakening again. I beat it a bunch of times, but I decided to play it again. Other than that, I've been playing a lot of games with The Grounded Gamer on PSN. Playing a lot of Killing Floor 2. And what did we play, Rocket League last week?
Yeah, Rocket League got some good old trophies going for that platinum.
Yeah, we're trying for that platinum in Rocket League. It's still a pain in the ass. I still have to do all the kilometers for the tires. So other than that, Killing Floor is awesome. I suggest if you didn't get it free, you should buy it because it's only $20. I think it's worth the $20. If I didn't buy it and I played it and I tried it out first, I would definitely put my money down on it. Corey, or actually Kalai, what have you been playing?
I'm gonna go last.
Oh, you want to go last? Fine, you can go last. Fine. Sorry.
actually, I was gonna say if the listeners do buy it, you're very welcome to come play with us. We do all own it. We can get a community night going if people want.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be an awesome idea.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Grounded Gamer? What have you been playing?
Actually, the cool thing, too, I'll mention, too, with Killing Floor 2, it's actually this month's Humble Bumble. If anybody wants to pick it up, it's part of the subscription monthly. It's PC, PSN, it's a great game to pick up. What else I've been playing is Just Cause 3, because, you know, you got to try out all those nice free games that you get. Really love Just Cause 2. So I definitely went through and played Just Cause 3, going through that about 6-7 hours into that game now. Tried Assassin's Creed Freedom DLC. It's a lot bigger than I thought it would be. Pretty simplistic. It doesn't have as much environment as the old ones. It's more or less just, here you are, your character, here's a place, go kill guys just like you did. Pretty much just fills that little bit of void for Assassin's Creed. Other than that, been tried down well, did a little bit of, I don't know if you guys have played, there's the Dreadnought beta that's out, Final Fantasy 14 Realm Reborn.
Don't do it.
Getting sucked back into
don't
it.
Don't so. Do it. How do you like Downwell? I love Downwell, so.
Downwell's fantastic.
It's hard as hell, but it's fun.
I like it that it's is on the Vita, because unlike me, I don't own a Switch yet. So at this point, my only portable systems are the 3DS and the Vita, but for me, it's more or less like having those little bit of games that I can cross-play. It's fantastic, especially me and my buddy always play Battlefield 1, and then we play Talisman on our Vitas while we're playing Battlefield 1, which can become quite intense sometimes because you can't pay attention to both at the same time. But it's a fantastic little system to play and work with, and especially the games that are coming out now are really using that touchscreen and doing well with it, so it's fantastic. So, Clyde, what have you been playing?
I have been playing Splatoon because I've been really enjoying the multiplayer. The Splatfest was this weekend. It was Mayo versus Ketchup. I was really, really excited to jump in and play with my husband, of course. We both picked Mayo so we could play together. Yes, considering that the ink colors were white and red. Let that one sit going.
I heard about that. That's gross. That was like a big giant thing they were talking about where it was a lot of innuendos with that for sure.
Why didn't they pick ketchup and mustard?
Because mustard doesn't sound.
But why didn't they pick ketchup and mustard?
Doesn't roll off the tongue like mayo.
Mayo also goes on fries in like Germany.
That's gross.
So we were all excited, and lo and behold, you can't jump into a friend's game in Splatfest. So thank you, Nintendo. I couldn't play with my husband.
Good old Nintendo. Always one step behind when it comes to online gameplay. Jesus. Fix your shit, Nintendo. Seriously. Enough is enough.
Yeah, so playing a little bit of Fire Emblem Conquest. I started that game after beating Birthright. And lo and behold, it's hard as fuck. Yeah.
Good luck.
And then on top of that, I've actually been playing I Am Setsuna. I kind of want to platinum that game. I got into this thing, which we're going to have a discussion. I think this is going to be a discussion for later, but I'm going to say this right now. My backlog is pressuring me, and I'm running through games so fast that I'm not even enjoying them. And I Am Setsuna is one of them. I was at a boss I couldn't beat, and I was like, I just got to stop, go back, and do other things, level up my character, get better gear. I had to tell myself that because I'm so pressured with my backlog.
I mean, the same thing happened with me with Final Fantasy 15. Like, I want to platinum it, and it's obtainable. Like, I'm not that far, but I feel like I'm just so pressured by all the games I have and then all the things that are coming in the pipeline. October 17th is going to kill me. Literally going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many games coming out in one day that I want. There's three games in one day. In one day. I'm like, how? Like, no. I have so much stuff to beat still. It's like, I just don't know. I don't know if I'm ever going to get through my backlog in my entire lifetime.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I did was I actually went to ColecoVision, was having an expo. That's right.
It's still alive?
That's right. Yes, you did not mishear me. I actually did say ColecoVision.
Is it the same people that tried to do that Coleco Chameleon bullshit? Or is it actually ColecoVision?
No, it's actually ColecoVision. That's what surprised me.
Oh, okay.
If you go to their website for the expo, it says, in 1983, we launched the ColecoVision. And in 2017, we're having a convention. There's nothing in between the 30 years.
It's because they've done nothing. So,
yeah, so I was like, okay, I'm going to go.
Did you ever have a ColecoVision?
I did. Smurfs was my favorite game.
Smurfs is awesome.
Loved it. So I went to this convention.
And it wasn't there, right? You were saying it wasn't there.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that. So we went to this convention. My friend went with me because my husband's like, I ain't going to that. So I'm like, okay, fine. So my friend's like, I'll go with you. So in 2 hours, we walked the entire convention floor. There was like nobody on the floor. And so then we figured out they had an arcade room. So then we went into the arcade room and somebody was showing off Oculus Rift, which they were showing games I already had. So I didn't take up time on that. But they had arcade machines. I don't know if you saw it, Joe. I posted a picture of Turtles in Time for you.
I saw that. See, everybody thinks I'm like the hugest like Turtles in Time fan, but I actually like 1989 better. Like, I think the 1989 game is way better.
Well, that's fine. I don't know. I couldn't
tell you. It's nostalgia.
I can't remember when all that stuff happened.
It's got those blinders on. I got those nostalgia blinders on. I got a lot of heat for that, so.
Well, they actually had a ColecoVision set up. They had one, so I'm like,
oh. Whoa, with games?
Yeah.
Like, you could play it?
I'm really excited. I sat down. Well, it was the one that you can buy with the preloaded games. And I was like, where's the Smurfs? And they said, oh, yeah, ColecoVision didn't put any third party on the system. So I couldn't even play the Smurfs. I was like...
That's funny because you know that Atari's releasing new flashbacks this year. This fall.
Well,
and they have better. And they have, like, good Atari games. They have third party games on them.
Even better. Let's take this one a step further. At the convention, you could buy for the first time ever a brand new ColecoVision game. And I'm like, who has a ColecoVision? So I went online to see if I could actually, if this is, maybe they put it out and I don't remember it. It's a possibility. Nope, not there. Nope. So now they're releasing a game for a system that hasn't been around for 40 years.
Was it like Halo on ColecoVision?
No, it was some stupid game that I don't even know what it was. And I'm standing
is ODST?
I was talking to some really nice people and I was like, who buys a ColecoVision game for a system that doesn't even exist? And here comes this guy. I got my ColecoVision game. I was like,
nice.
What are you going to play it on?
His ColecoVision that he owns, that he takes care of, that he's probably refurbished like 18,000 times.
Yes. Yes. And then he goes, but I'm really not going to play it. I'm just going to leave it in the plastic.
It's like the Atari porn games. You just leave them in the plastic.
What's the point of that? If I could have a video game, I'm sure as hell going to play it.
I have the same sentiment, and that can definitely be a discussion for another day, because that could be a whole topic in itself.
Yep. And I met some really nice people. I actually met a gentleman, Patrick Henrik Jr.? Henrik Jr. He was really nice. He's doing a book that's coming out in October. You can go online to Amazon.com and pre-order it. The interviews behind the making of the games, it's the minds behind the games of the actual industry. It looks very interesting. So, you know, I suggest people go check that one out. But you know what? After being at this convention, oh, one more thing. They actually had a celebrity there signing. It was a girl. I didn't know who she was. She was 18 years old. This is very important to the story.
But she was 18? Well,
yes. Let me finish. So she's a Disney star.
Okay. Oh, so she's local, I'm guessing?
I don't know. So I was like, I don't know who you are. She goes, that's all right. I do a gaming show on Disney. I was like, okay. Nobody was lining up for this poor woman to design. She was just sitting there in the corner.
Aww.
Yes. And she was very pretty looking. Congratulations, ColecoVision, for bringing in an 18-year-old woman with a whole bunch of 40 and 50-year-old men. Yeah, the comments I heard were not pretty as a woman. Yeah.
Terrible.
I mean, the con was pretty good. I really did enjoy talking to people. I talked to the vendors. They were so nice. I really enjoyed it. And they were making announcements, which I couldn't even hear over the loudspeaker system, but the guy was wearing a jumpsuit from 1980, which was kind of fitting with the classic theme. But if you're going to have a convention,
yeah,
bring in more relevant guests as opposed to a Disney star that you just pulled off the internet.
So how I have a question for you. How are the prices at the show for the retro stuff?
Expensive.
I mean, they always are at conventions, but I mean, sometimes you get some good deals, especially if it's last day of the convention or if it's only a one-day convention because they don't want to haul everything home.
It was a two-day convention. I did see Tales of Exilia, the collector's edition for $35 for the PS3.
You and your damn collector's editions.
Which I wasn't... Oh, I thought it wasn't that bad. But you know what I also saw was Goddess Noir from Neptune.
Okay.
They had that collector's edition.
Yes, I know.
The PS4 and the scroll, and you got an art book.
Ooh.
$180 opened.
Yeah, that's about right.
I said to the guy, I said, why is this $180? The guy was like, I couldn't tell
you. That's like when you find each .hack game and they're like $80. Wow. Open.
Yeah, he turned to me and he was like, yeah, this is overpriced. Even the vendor selling it told me it was overpriced.
Hey, man.
So there's something. I did, however, see a original Fire Emblem from the GameCube. $100 opened.
I have 5 of them.
Well, they're worth money.
I know they are.
Wow.
I know they are. It's exactly. I'm waiting for
them. There you go, Joe. You can put down your mortgage payment.
I'm waiting for the price to inflate. Fire Emblem. And then when the bubble bursts, I'll just sell them all. No. I really, that's probably my favorite Fire Emblem game, is the one on the GameCube and the one on the Wii. So I have multiple copies of them.
So, Kalai, just for some information, I was just looking it up just because I mean, it seems pretty ridiculous that there's a ColecoVision, you know, new game. And what it is they've designed what they call a super module for the ColecoVision that is a up-resing to an extent, I guess, up-resing cartridge just top, like kind of like what they did with the Sega Master System where you could have like the 32-bit.
32-bit, yeah, instead of a 16.
Yeah, so the game that you were talking about was called Hole-in-One, and it's a golf game. So...
Nice, high-res golf on the ColecoVision. Get in line, people, because that sounds like a true winner right there.
And when you look it up, the worst part is they actually have, like, when you look it up and you look at the list of games people are trying to brew for the ColecoVision, and they're talking about Donkey Kong Jr. trying to make it work on the ColecoVision. And I don't get it. Like, I don't. It just... Why waste your effort when you can just buy a Nintendo? Like,
why not just like port like Lee Carpenter's putting challenge from The Simpsons instead of buying? Like, come on, are you serious? Like,
and it doesn't even look like it's that. Like, you don't even see behind the golfer. It just looks like you got the ball. You see the area.
You got balls.
Your ball. Yeah, that's it. That's about. They do really, but they're square balls, so they're not really technically balls. They're squares.
Yeah, those aren't balls. They have to be round.
Yeah, so...
this is shoddy marketing here.
Yeah, but they, you know what? I thought they were really nice. It was a lot of fun talking to people, getting to know people, the people in the area. That was kind of fun, you know, seeing the costumes. There was a lot of Harley Quinn costumes, which confused me. Then I saw an Ash Ketchum.
She's huge in cosplay. And she's probably one of the cheaper, like, cosplay outfits to make.
Well, it's really easy. You just cut your jeans to where... They become underwear and just make your checkered shirt and you're good to go and just cut it low and you're Harley Quinn.
Carry around a baseball bat.
Yeah, carry around a baseball bat. Oh, you got to dye your hair and have pink tips and then just throw like white all over your face and you're good. It's fantastic.
I did see one of the kids dressed up as a Team Fortress character, so that was pretty good.
That's pretty dope. Yeah.
I actually did really like that one.
That's different.
Are you going to go to any other conventions this year?
Oh, yeah, I have a whole list. I actually have tickets to Comic-Con.
Nice. I'm going to the video game. It's called A Video Game Con. It's in Paramus, New Jersey. It's, like, the worst named convention ever, but the list of people who are going to be there from YouTube is, like, insane, so.
Yeah, when is that again? That's in September, right?
It's the 9th and the 10th of September. For anybody that's in New Jersey, I mean. It's in Paramus. I mean, Corey, you should come out, man. It's only, like...
Yeah, I'll just start driving now.
It's only, like, 11 and a half million hour drive.
It's not too bad. I figure it's probably, like, a 10 to 15 hour day drive, or 10, 15... days.
Jesus.
Straight.
We'd have to find some, like, cool middle ground in Canada to meet at.
Well,
where it'd be fair.
We don't need to meet in Canada. I mean, that's... I mean, there's a lot of good cons here. I mean, really, the big cons in Canada, though, are when you look at the Electric Onyx Expo in Vancouver.
Okay.
And you have the Anime Expo in Toronto. Two probably of the biggest ones in Canada. But more or less, a lot of people here... Like, I'm maybe 3 hours away from Seattle. So a lot of people just... drive down to Seattle for anything.
Yeah, that's not too far, because you can go to Portland Gaming Expo, too. That's probably not that far.
Yeah, exactly. Or we go to right down to, what is it, San Fan? Like, San Francisco's right below us, I think.
PAX West.
Yeah. You can go to PAX West, you can Mags Fest. You're not that far from all the bigger ones.
Yeah, no, it's just going down south, right?
Yeah.
I'll take a cruise. I'll just go from Vancouver to a cruise down the... to go down there and go down to the beaches. And
gaming convention cruise?
Get off, go to gaming convention, jump back on the boat. Keep on going.
There you go. Thinking about being in the ColecoVision, I was thinking about it. Remember how I actually got into gaming all those years ago? And you know, so I thought that would make a good topic of the show this week. Talk about how we actually got into gaming. Since you're new to the show, Grounded Gamer, why don't you start and tell us, how did you actually get into gaming?
I mean, what I'll do, too, is you guys can call me, I guess, by my first name, Corey, too. It makes it a little bit easier. But the reason why I call myself the Grounded Gamer is because... lo and behold, I was grounded as a young child from playing video games. So the way it started for me was I basically got a Nintendo at the age of 4. I was just loved playing Mario. I had Ice Climbers. God, I wish I had kept Ice Climbers. It'd be worth a lot of money. But, you know, a lot of other games too, the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and all that as well. And I had quite an attitude. Today we'd call it normal. Back then we called it spoiled and, you know... anger management issues. So at that time, I was grounded from ever owning a console in my house, and supposed to be until the age of 16. I was able to get away with it at the age of 14, but pretty much because of a lot of my gaming was done at my friends' places and gaming with what they had. So my experience with video games growing up was actually pretty open. I didn't really have a preference if you were Nintendo or if you were Sega or if you're a PlayStation guy or the Dreamcast. It was whatever you had.
No one was a Dreamcast guy.
Oh, there was. I had some Dreamcast friends. Power Stone, Jesus, was the only game. You can't, Power, yeah, Stone was.
Just because you like Power Stone doesn't make you a Dreamcast guy.
No. But that's the thing, right? For me, it was like, okay, I really quickly learned what games made what consoles, right? So growing up,
Power Stone was beast.
Yeah, so like that's like growing up for me was like, oh, I have a Nintendo 64. Oh, do you have Gauntlet Legends? Do you have GoldenEye? Do you have Mario Kart? Do you have Mario Party? Do you have, like, right away Zelda, Mario 64? Like, I knew what games to ask about Super Smash Brothers, and it's like
WCW versus NWO.
I love that game. We used to have that.
Game is amazing. The game is still good now. I would still play that today.
We actually had that at a youth pastor's place. We actually played at the youth group that we used to go to. It was hilarious.
Play as Hakuman, and everyone was like...
And everybody knows you got a Dreamcast for Crazy Taxi.
Yes. Yes, can't figure that out. See, but for me, being a young child at the time, I mean, Crazy Taxi wasn't what we all owned, but... And then that's what I learned to do. So when it came to games, my world of it was very much I had to learn how to really quickly play games because I usually only got one or two chances. Learn to binge like crazy or stay up super late. Like, beating Ocarina. Like, I would replay that, the start of Ocarina.
It's bad.
So many times, because it'd be like, I'd be at my buddy's house, I would start a new game, and then I'd go to a different buddy's house, but he would have it, so then I would have to start another game. And I got to the point where I'm like, okay, I gotta finish this. So what I'm gonna do is, I know I'm going to this buddy's house, I'm gonna stay up for the next 17 hours and just play Zelda. He'll go...
So you sleep over someone's house and use their system? Yeah. Awesome.
It's fantastic. Best way to do it. Yeah.
That's the way to do
it. Oh, I'm going to go to bed, Corey. Okay, okay. You go to bed. I'm going to sleep down in your basement. Don't go to sleep. Just game and game. And that's why I played all the games of the time. So when I firstly got my first system, the funny thing is I got a Game Boy Advance for my birthday. And then a month later, my grandpa sent me his old Nintendo in the mail. So I, at the age of 14, restarted with playing Nintendo again. And then that's when I was able to buy all the other random games that I'd never played before. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And everyone's like, that's a shitty game. I'm like, what do you mean it's shitty? Like, I didn't know the word shitty because I never played shitty games before. Like, this was new to me. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. I mean, it's a little buggy, but...
Sitting there playing X-Men.
I guess that's okay.
On the Nintendo, Jesus.
And then I went to own a PlayStation, did that for a while. Yeah, like, I earned the first console I bought... Yeah, the first console I bought with myself, with my own money, was a PlayStation 1 for $10 off my buddy with Final Fantasy VII and Grand Theft Auto 1.
You have a nice buddy.
And that...
That's yeah. like the best deal ever.
Yeah, and that was at the time...
Grand Theft Auto 1, really? Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, 1 and 2. I ended up buying 2 later, but...
Wasn't much better than 1.
No, but at the time, it was funny because at that time, my buddy actually had a PlayStation 2 and Grand Theft Auto Vice City had just come out. So whenever I would be over at my buddy's place, I'd be like, hey, you want to play some Grand Theft Auto? They're like, oh, you've got Grand Theft Auto. Perfect. Let's boot it up. Let's play it. And I'm like, bring out this PlayStation. Like, I haven't seen this version of a PlayStation before. And boot up Grand Theft. This isn't Grand Theft Auto.
This guy's like 3D.
What is this? What is this? Why am I looking top down?
What's not top down?
And so it was very interesting growing up. So a lot of my gaming started around, and then oh my goodness, when I was in my like late teens, I just that was it. The gaming was the thing for me. So call myself the grounded gamer just because I was grounded for one, but also because when it comes to gaming now, I'm a very grounded individual in the market, in the place, because I don't have the time to, when you guys talk about backlogs, I don't have the time to backlog, because I have probably, if I was to count every game that I've ever bought and not played and not beat or even started and want to beat, I'm probably at close to 300 to 400 games through 6 generations of consoles, and there's no way I'm gonna ever be able to complete that. So I've learned really quickly to just watch, and that's why YouTube's been such a good thing for that, like just to watch or listen or read or talk about games with other people. And I feel that at that point I kind of feel like, okay, I've understood, like Ninja Gaiden for the Nintendo's,
it's the greatest game ever made.
A lot of people love them. Never played any of them.
What?
Never.
All right,
never.
All right, this has to happen, like through stream hell or high water, we will play Ninja Gaiden because it's my favorite Nintendo game. So
perfect.
I love that.
See,
game.
That's the thing. So a lot of people talked about it.
I have a question. I thought your favorite Nintendo game was Fire Emblem.
No. No, it is not.
I think he's talking about original Nintendo. I think that's where we're...
My favorite Nintendo game is 100% definitely Ninja Gaiden.
And see, so from the praise of that, I originally bought Ninja Gaiden Stigma for the PS3 when it came out. Remastered.
It was great too.
And I played living crap out of that game and loved it. And that's what I mean. So for me, it's one of those things where when it comes to people talking, and I'm very opinionated when it comes to video games too, because knowing, researching every single console for every single gen for the last however many years, if someone's like, oh yeah, dude, you know what? You need to own a Xbox or you need to own a Nintendo because you need to play the new Gears. And I'm like, I'll play Gears 1 and 2, but I'm not going to play... And I'll play 3, but I'm not going to play anything past that. And they're like, why is not? And I'm like, well, it's not made by Epic. I'll play a game that's made by Epic.
Judgment's not bad.
What are you talking about? And I'm like, well, if you look back... Yeah, well, and that's sort of thing, right? So for me, it's one of those things where having that little bit of aspect sometimes, it really is nice. Like, the idea that Lost Vikings on the Super Nintendo was originally made by Bungie.
Yes, the original team behind Halo.
The original team behind Halo made a...
Like the original people, yes.
Switched person Lost Viking game for the Super NES. That
game is a good game, though.
It was a good game, but nobody knew about it.
No, and that's... I mean, there's a lot of instances of that. Look at creator of Resident Evil. His first game was Goof Troop on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, and it's really neat to find out, like, where gaming started for a lot of these companies and where it ended. Like, there's so many games that were like, oh, they had this really shitty port, and now they're making one of the biggest franchises that we know. And so it's really neat to...
It's all longevity. You just have to make yourself last long enough to be able to make something good, I think. In some cases.
Exactly. And so now...
I know you were telling me before that once you got ungrounded, you really had to catch up.
Well, that's what I say, right? Like, my backlog's 300-400 games because
I'm you would just beat games, like, rapidly, you were telling me, the one night.
Yeah. Well, no, like, I look at, like, one of my biggest things that I did completely super fast was I was living for 1 month in a cabin with no... That was back when I had my PS2, and I had two games. I had Devil May Cry 3, and I had Ark of the Lad. And
nice.
I beat Ark of the Lad in 3 days. And I think I sunk 47 hours in 3 days into Ark of the Lad and beat it. And Devil May Cry, I beat that game 7 different times. I've probably beat every mode of it. Like, it's... Oh, and I've rebought it 4 times, and it's...
It's a great game. I've rebought it a whole mess of times.
So for me, that's where when I have games that I really like and enjoy, I will replay them. Like Earthbound, I've played a lot too. But that's the thing though, right? It's that thing where for me, I just trust people's opinions because I know when they talk about like Ninja Gaiden on the Nintendo, I know it's so beloved by so many people that I'm like, okay, I get it. I get what kind of gamers play that. I'm like, I would never probably be able to beat it. Knowing my challenge level and my...
You could beat it. You could beat it. If you can beat Devil May Cry 3, you could beat Ninja Gaiden. It might take you 500 hours, but you'd be able to beat it.
Yeah, 500 hours. 500 hours.
I beat it, and I didn't beat it till like 2 or 3 years ago. And I finally beat it. And it was like one of those like throw your hands up, like victory moments. Like, I was like, shit, I finally beat this.
Did you just want to do a lap around the house? That's what happens when I beat a hard game. Feel like I should do a victory lap.
Yeah, but I feel like, I feel like that's a valid point. Yeah, I would do a victory lap, but I didn't. Yeah. I mean, I just screamed really loud and woke everybody in the house up.
That's good. So we heard from Corey. What about you, Joe? How did you get in the game?
It's a long story, and it goes all the way back to when I was about 4, when my dad would come home at night, and he would play Atari 2600 and 7800. And I would sit next to him, and then one night, he would just decide to teach me how to play. And the first two games I learned how to play were Frogger and Carnival, and I love both those games to death. And then the third game he taught me, which is my favorite Atari game, and most people's favorite Atari game, and really, really popular and expensive Atari game, is River Raid. And I would sit and play River Raid for, like, hours and hours and hours, and... Like, my mom couldn't get me to move from the TV. Like, I was just enamored. And I have a similar... We really didn't have the income to just go and buy new systems every time they came out. So, I never had a Nintendo when I was a kid. Never. Never had one. I didn't get a Nintendo until I was an adult. I had to go back and play all those games as an adult. Similar to Corey. But I did... I remember on my 10th birthday... It was funny because I went to take a shower, and this plays in the story perfectly because I take really long showers and my parents know that. So when I was done out of the shower, I came and changed in my bedroom, and then there was a brand new Super Nintendo hooked up to my TV playing Super Mario World. And my sister's just sitting there playing it, and I'm like, what's this? And she's like, oh, happy birthday. It's from mom and dad.
And she's sitting there playing it.
And I was like, yeah. And then...
Did you tell her the GTFO?
Yeah, I really did. Yes, I did, because I was like, what the fuck are you doing playing? It's mine.
That's pretty funny.
And then it was funny, because my mom got it for me, and then the next day, my dad picked me up, and he took me to Toys R Us, and he goes, all right, he's like, you have $300. You can get as many games as you can get with $300, Super Nintendo games. I was like, that's not a lot of Super Nintendo games, people know. Because those things went for like...
No.
They went for like $60, $70 US when they came out. They're expensive. I remember I got The Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. I got Turtles in Time. And I got... There's one more. There's like Top Gear, one of the Top Gear games. I love those games.
Another good game.
And then I got Chase HQ, or it's like you chase after criminals in a cop car, and you smash into them, and that's how you take them out. It's Super Chase, I think it's called, Super Chase HQ. It's really good, but I literally came home from the store, I threw everything aside, and I picked one game to play, and everyone should know what game it is, but I played Ninja Turtles, and I beat it like 4 or 5 times, just straight through. Like,
it better have been The Legend of Zelda.
It wasn't, actually. Which is a funny story, because that is my favorite Super Nintendo game of all time. Like, I've probably beat it like a million times on Super Nintendo. I think when I beat it the first time, I don't even think I turned the console off. I just left it on. Like, I would leave it on, and the red light would just stay on. I would just go to school, come back, and then just play it. I was just afraid it would, like... I was afraid of this new technology called save systems.
We all have that fear.
I was like, I'm used to this Atari shit where there's no saving.
I just want you to let you know, honey, if you're listening, see, I'm not the only one that leaves my system on.
Oh, I leave it on all the time.
Yeah, I come back all the time, and I have no idea if even Joe's on his PS4 or not.
Well, okay, that's...
So, he's still playing Killing Floor, but...
That could be, one, I'm watching WWE Network, or that could be, two, my daughter turned the system on, and I don't know about it.
Or last night when you walked away and we're playing Killing Floor with Joe, it was kind of funny, and he's like, Corey's dead. Corey, you're dead. Corey's not there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I was like, Corey just left the room, and I'm like... He didn't leave the chat, but he's still here. But he was gone for an hour.
Yeah, well, it was a spring rolls in the oven, and then helping the fiance get back.
Well, you got to help the missus out.
Yeah, I got to help
happy
her
get, wife,
especially
happy
when
life.
It comes to getting back into gaming. You know, you gotta definitely take that time.
Dude, she can shut it down quickly. But I mean, I played games like every day as a child, and most of my friends did too. That's where I really got it from. A lot of my friends had Super Nintendos growing up. We didn't really have Segas. I got into Sega because my sister was moving out of her apartment, and her roommate had an old Sega Genesis, and they didn't want it. And my dad's like, oh, how much you want for it? And they're like, no, just take it. And I was like, oh, sweet. So then that started, like, my love of Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, I went and bought, like, all 3 Sonic games, and that's literally all I played for, like, a week. And the Super Nintendo just sat there in the corner. And then... What?
That almost reminds me of when I got my Sega. Because, actually, I forgot about the Sega Genesis, because it was an interesting time where our old daycare worker that also became our babysitter for me and my brother had a Sega Genesis. So whenever we go to his place, we play Sega. And he knew that we never owned a console. So when he left the town, he's like, here, in this, like, trumpet case, here's my Sega. And my parents made sure that they hid this Sega. They didn't want to say no to it. They didn't want to throw it away. So they hid it somewhere in the attic in this case for years and years and years.
Oh, my God.
And me and my brother found it.
You unearthed it, like,
wait,
years...
I have a question. How do you not go looking for it?
Oh, we did. No. This is like, oh, yeah. No, me and my brother, like, scoured the house for, like, years. Because we moved to 2 different houses during that point. So, at the one point, we did find it, though. And we found out that, well, my parents, if they knew we were playing it, would ground us from it, right? Because, you know, good old grounded gamer. So, what we did is, whenever we had the babysitter come over, we'd be like, hey, I know my dad's liquor cabinet where it is. I'll make you a drink. You can get some liquor. As long as you let us play Sega. And actually, the one night, the funny, hilarious story of that, we got our babysitter, and this is like me and my brother being,
oh my God,
11 and 12. Like, 10, 11, we're making drinks, so we have no idea what the hell we're doing. We just know that it's a liquor cabinet, and Dad has a couple drinks every once in a while. And so we get him plastered, like, literally plastered, and thank goodness, like, we talked to him a couple days later, and we're like, because when I was older, I was like, hey, I remember when we got you, like, super wasted one night, and I just wanted to make sure that we didn't, like, screw up your, like, relationship with my parents. He's like, thank God. He's like, actually, no, you didn't, because they came back home with a taxi and plastered too. So we were both wasted talking to each other, so I have a feeling they don't remember. And I'm like, oh, well, that's good. But yeah, we used to, like, literally, that was our thing. We'd, like, give him a drink, and then we'd go and play, grab the Sega, and then we'd make sure that we put it exactly where it was, and then... My parents never knew. It was hilarious.
Oh, man. I have crazy stories of, like, trying to stay up late and like put blankets underneath the door frame so my parents couldn't see the light coming from the TV. And I would sit up and just play Final Fantasy VII like all night until like I heard them come upstairs, and then I'd like quickly just shut the system off. But you know, like the Sony, like the PlayStation 1, like it starts to make noise after a while.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, especially with the disc, it's
the
like
the fan's loud. Yeah, so I was like, fuck, I'm gonna get caught. And eventually one night I did get caught. And like what I did was I just like threw my controller up in the air and like went under my blanket. Like I wasn't doing anything wrong. And my mom was like, Are you fucking kidding me? Like it's on the TV, like.
Yeah.
Good old bedtimes.
That's like my brother.
Good thing those don't exist anymore. But I mean, my fondest memories growing up in gaming and like what really made it a lasting hobby is a core group of friends I had growing up who we would have sleepovers like every weekend, and it would literally be a weekend. It wouldn't be like one day, and then we'd go to like one person's house like on Friday and then the next person's house on Saturday, and then if we had a 3-day weekend, we'd go to the third person's place on Sunday. But we'd literally go in, we'd play video games from like sun up to sundown. Parents would force us outside for a few hours to like play basketball. Like I remember one day we went out to play basketball after like a binge night of gaming. Like coming out of like the basement and like the sun hitting our eyes for the first time was ridiculous. Like we acted like we were drunk basically, because we were so tired. We were up for like 11 hours straight playing video games, and then we were forced to go do physical exertion outside.
It's like the opening to Fallout 3.
So like we're trying to play basketball, and we're falling over because we're so tired. Because we didn't get any sleep the night before, and our parents knew that, so they would make us like go out and do things. Like they took us the car wash one time, and it was like really loud, and it was like, oh dude, we were so pissed. All we had to do is go to sleep so we can get up and go game again.
Did you ever have it, Joe? Because I know you were an Xbox gamer for a while too, where you did the good old everyone bring a TV and their Xbox to like a buddy's house and like a 16 person Halo match.
Oh. Every time a Gears of War came out, me and my buddy, one of us would take turns bringing the second TV over, and we would sit and play the whole campaign from start to finish without leaving. Like, you don't leave until we're done.
Well, see, we did it with the Xbox.
If it took one day, if it took a day and a half, you were staying. You don't leave.
Yeah, so we did with the original Xbox, because the original Xbox and Halo 1, you couldn't play online, right?
The LAN parties, yeah.
Yeah, so we'd literally have a modem in the middle of the stairs. We had four TVs downstairs.
Oh, Jesus!
We had three TVs upstairs. We had everything. We had a 100-foot Ethernet cable. We had a 50-footer. We had a 25, a 20,
oh my God.
And two 18s.
One person trips on the cable and the whole game goes down. You're like,
yeah,
fuck.
And we had that happen a couple times. Or the breaker would go because you'd have, like, you know, six Xboxes and, you know, six TVs going.
Well, I mean, it was, like, three big games that did it for me. I mean, GoldenEye, that was a good one where we'd stay up all night and playing. Smash Brothers was, like, the gateway. Like, Mario Party, where, like, you would literally, like, have to go to the bathroom to put, like, peroxide in your hands because your hand's bleeding from, like, doing the circle thing for, like, an hour and a half. Or like,
oh man!
Or you come home from like a weekend of gaming, and mom's like, "Why are your hands all blistered?" I was like, "Oh, I don't know. Wasn't playing video games for 40 hours."
Don't worry, mom. I was just doing what normal teenage boys do. Don't worry.
I know, like my best friend and I, like we played when Pokemon came out. That was it, man. When we did sleepovers, we would play Pokemon like all night and just trade back and forth and like. We would race to see who, like, when we got older, when we still did sleepovers in our 20s, like, we would just race back and forth playing Pokemon.
Hey,
like,
I did sleepovers in my 20s. There's nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong with it.
You know the best part?
That's the best part of staying at home.
Yeah, you know the best part about being in a sleepover when you're 20 compared to when you're 15?
No bedtime.
You have a car.
Yeah, you have a car and no bedtime.
No, you have a car and no bedtime. So see, the way it works.
Go get Taco Bell in the middle of a sleepover.
Oh, exactly. Or 7-Eleven pizza, whatever. It was so funny because me and my buddy used to have it where I would literally have a TV. I had at one point four big giant cube TVs. And so the way it worked is I had one at my buddy's house, two at my place. And then if we ever needed a third TV, I would literally walk 2.5 blocks carrying this 30-pound TV all the way to his house just so that we had it set up. So like we could have chairs. Like we were doing like Twitch streaming before it was a thing. We were literally having it where we'd be like cross
nice
gaming, where I would be sitting on one couch with a TV on a coffee table, he would be with a on a stand, And then one time I was playing Prince of Persia, and every time I died, the screen would flash red, and he thought that he was hallucinating and seeing demons, but, you know, good time.
Just so many memories. I remember every time a new Madden would come out when we were in high school, we'd all get together at my one buddy's house, and we would all play, like, a tournament, like, every year to crown the new Madden champion for that year. Or the WWE games, we'd sit around and just play for hours and just see who, like, we would make belts in high school, art class, for, like, who was the champion of each federation on SmackDown versus Raw. It was so funny, dude. The memories are, I'll never forget going to Boy Scout camp and, like, bringing our Maglite snake light flashlights, the ones that were, like, the snake flashlights. We would put them around our necks so we could play Pokemon when we're supposed to go to sleep. It was genius. And then everybody started doing it, and I was like, yeah, we started that shit, and that's why we all wear glasses now.
You can tell when you're a true gamer when you started early when you're wearing glasses.
Exactly, exactly. But I mean, it's really a journey, man. Like, I couldn't imagine my life without video games. I really couldn't. They're part of the best parts of my life, and they've got me through a lot of things in life.
Mm-hmm. You want to hear how I got into gaming?
I would love to hear how you got into gaming, Kali. Please explain.
Yeah, because it'd be very interesting. Because I mean, it's you started with like the Coleco you were saying. I think
actually I started before then.
Oh. Okay.
My father, the wonderful man that he was, see, we lived in a tourist area, and he had owned all these different businesses, and depending on what he could make money on, that's what he made money on. Well, for a couple of years, he owned arcade machines that he would rent out to the campgrounds and make money off of them, and then during the winter, these campgrounds would shut down, so he would have to find a place to put all of the machines. And then to save money, he didn't actually own, like, a warehouse. A everyone in the family had to take arcade machines. So at 3 years old, they have pictures of me on a milk crate reaching the Pac-Man controls so I could play Pac-Man. So I actually started...
That is amazing.
Dude, that's dope. Uh-huh. Imagine if you kept those machines. Oh,
then
my God.
I got really lucky, and I got a ColecoVision, and me and my sister would love to play Smurfs.
Yes, so lucky to get that ColecoVision. Right.
But when Nintendo came out, I wanted a Nintendo really bad, and I wound up going to a friend's house, who I really didn't like, but I wanted to play his Nintendo.
I've done that. I'm guilty of that.
I think we're all guilty of that in some way, shape, or form. Probably mainly me, but...
I used people to play video games, hands up.
Well, he was rich. He lived in New York, and I lived in a shore area. This was his summer home, so he had the whole Nintendo with, of course, Robbie the Robot, and I wanted that.
Oh, jeez.
So we wound up moving, and I really wanted a Nintendo, and so Christmas came around, and that's all I wanted was a Nintendo. So my parents had the great idea that they should get one system for one child and a different system for my sister, so that way we could share games. So lo and behold, my sister got the Nintendo, and I got
what?
A video game machine system that came with a gun and was like a knockoff of everything else.
You got a plug-and-play?
I got a plug-and-play, and my sister, who's not a gamer, got the Nintendo.
Is it a plug-and-play, or is it the Sega, the old Sega Master System? Because I remember that had a gun attached to it.
Nope. It was a plug-and-play. It was something I've never even heard.
And nobody wanted a Sega Master System.
So it's not even... I was going to say, but at least a Sega Master System's better than a plug-and-play.
You could play Kid Chameleon, and that was about it.
So for the longest time, I had to beg my sister to be in her room to play video games.
Oh, that sucks.
Yes.
You gotta be nice to your sister to play video games. That's like the worst.
That's terrible.
I know. But my sister, the wonderful person that she is. So you remember how expensive the Nintendo app was? Because I actually got the Nintendo close to when it was released.
I mean, compared to standards now, I mean, it's dirt cheap. But I mean, back then, that was a lot.
It was like 150.
What was like?
No.
I think, yeah, it works out to like, you know, it was like $300-$400 if I'm
correct. Now.
Wasn't it? No, look at it today's standards compared to back then. It was
literally $100 back then, I think.
Six to seven.
I think it was $100.
Or 150. It was something not cheap, which is the point of the story.
No, I think it was cheap, because I think that was the whole point of the Nintendo. I could look it up.
Does anybody have a Nintendo Power? We have a Nintendo Power laying around?
Yeah, good old Nintendo Power.
So, when my birthday came around and I was 8 years old and my sister was seven, we used to work for my father at his business. My sister saved all her money and bought me a brand new Nintendo system.
What? That's awesome.
That's how I got a Nintendo. We shared the games. And in fact,
so you
one
each had a Nintendo?
So we each had a Nintendo.
That's dope. You had two Nintendos.
Well, what's even doper was the fact that my father owned a flea market. Oh, and one point, he started buying and selling Nintendo games.
Okay. So you were right.
It is $100.
The deluxe set went for $200. The basic set with just the console was the cheap version. That was $89.99.
Oh, okay. Toys R Us has the Power Edition, which was $150, and it came with the Power Pad. Because, you know, you can't forget that Power Pad.
Yes, my sister saved her money and actually bought me a Nintendo. So,
yo, shout out to your sister. She's pretty cool.
Yes, shout out to my sister. And then my father, like I said, was buying and selling games. So one year before Christmas, my dad had bought a whole lot of video games and brought them home. And my mom said, no, don't give them to them. She put them away. And for Christmas, I must have got 50 brand new Nintendo games.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Yeah. I had 150 Nintendo games, literally, because people would come into my father's market and want to sell them cheap. And my dad would buy them and bring them home and hand them to me. And including that Christmas, in one day...
Tell me you didn't keep any of them.
Well, I'll get to that. I just have to say... I just have to say this. Steven, you listening? I had DuckTales for Christmas.
Nah, DuckTales, Steve. It's DuckTales. You couldn't get it on... It's a joke that never dies.
I beat it in one day.
You beat DuckTales in one day? It's impressive. I'm sorry.
Me and my sister sat down, we beat it, and we were like, well, what's the point of this game? We beat it, like, the day we got it.
I mean, most Nintendo games can be beaten a day, if you really sit down and play them, and get good.
I had Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck, yeah. And so when the Super Nintendo came out, I wanted the Super Nintendo. And my father, wanting to teach me the value of a dollar, said, well, you can't keep your system, there's no point.
Oh, man, if he only knew.
He said, why don't you give me all your console and your games, and I will sell them, and we can take the money and buy a Super Nintendo. I wanted a Super Nintendo, so I said yes.
You could have bought like 400 Super Nintendos now.
Joe, that's okay. I have a worse story for that. I'll let Kalai finish, and then I'll tell you my sad retro story.
I basically, yeah, so pretty much growing up, and in fact, the first game I ever bought myself was Mortal Kombat. But the one new story I do want to tell is about the PlayStation. When the PlayStation 1 came out, I had to have one.
Wait, one second. Hold on. The Super Nintendo Mortal Kombat? Yeah, I got that for Christmas one year, and that was like the greatest Christmas gift ever. I was like, oh, I can play it at home now? This is sweet.
But you got to remember, I'm older than you, so I actually used to go on dates with my husband to play at the arcade.
Mortal Kombat was awesome.
Said to have it at home. So you said that you were in high school when you got Final Fantasy VII.
I was in 7th grade.
Grade. I was already in college when the game came out. And of course I had to have one. At this point I'm living with my now husband. And so he didn't want to buy me the PlayStation. So I made him a deal. I said if I can walk into a store and find it. Because you couldn't find the PlayStation anywhere. I said, you'll have to buy it for me. He goes, okay, I'll take that bet. I walked in and there it was. And lo and behold, he had to buy me a brand new PlayStation. So I said, well, you know what? We can share. And I said, oh, you know, we'll share. And he's like, okay. So I get Final Fantasy VII and start playing. And of course, I have a fear of losing a save file. So I left that shit on for days. And he'd be like, I want to play. I'm like, no, you cannot touch that system. So I would not let him play. Actually, that's why this day we have each of us has our own systems because now we can do whatever we want and we don't have to bother each other.
Sounds exciting. That's what I do. Yeah. That's why I do it.
I don't like to share. I'm tired of sharing. No.
You don't have to share. I need to buy a new device to watch Netflix on because I'm sick of using my PS4 because it's like lost time that I can't play PS4.
What was the story you wanted to tell us?
So with retro gaming, and Joe, if you're going to cry, that's totally fine. We can edit that out. So basically what it was is remember how I told you that I didn't start till later? So you got to remember, I was in my teens at this time, like late teens, like 18 years old. So this would have been the PS3 had already been out at that point. Like, Red Dead Redemption had come out by this point. So, I was still collecting retro games. So, I had a Nintendo with all the normal classics, like your... I had both Zeldas, all the Marios, all that stuff. A lot of other random games, too. I had a Super Nintendo, with same idea. I had Secrets of Mana, Secrets of Evermore. I had like the collection of Mario, and I had the gun. I had a whole bunch of controllers, probably like 12 controllers. I had the Super Scope 6. So,
oh, you had the Super Scope 6? Oh, Jesus, God. Would you get a penny for that thing?
No, just it gets worse. So what ended up happening is just with the way it was working for me, I wanted to make a career choice and to go into sales, and or like what I want to do is like podcasting and sales and repping things and things like that. And where I live, it was very hard at the time to get into a base sales position without starting as retail. And I'm like, you know what? I know I can go somewhere else and get that. So I chose to move to a different province, or in your case, it would be a state. In order to do that, I needed money. So I had a garage sale.
Oh, no.
And I need...
No, don't tell me you garage sold your stuff.
And I had to sell it. Now, it gets worse. God. So one guy hit me up because I'm putting the ad on, and I'm like, I have all these games and da-da-da-da-da. And this one guy's like, oh, man. He's like, I want to buy your stuff. Like, he's like, avid collector. And this is before retro gaming became big, right? So at this time, it was like at the point where people knew retro gaming was a thing, but you weren't seeing the prices that you see nowadays. So, like, the original Mario was going for $5 or $10. Like, not a whole lot of money. Whereas nowadays, like, I mean, or Mario 3 was even going for $10, whereas now it goes for, like, 25.
Not 30.
So, he came over. I was doing it, and the guy's like, I'm like, okay, be here first thing in the morning. I'll sell everything to you. You give me a good price, and then no one else can buy it. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and all of a sudden it hits 4 p.m., and I'm like, man, this guy's not coming. I see a guy come up and goes, oh my God, I want to buy your system and stuff. Now, for me, because I hadn't looked this up into the retro gaming market, he's like, I'll make you a deal because you need to get rid of all of it and everything and all that stuff. And he says, I'll give you $120 for everything. And this is like, okay, so I probably had 45 games in total. I probably had 30 games for NES. I probably had another 40 games for Super NES, and then all the controllers and all the hookups and everything, and both the guns and everything. And he's like, yeah, I'll give you $120 for all of it. And at the time, I just needed the money, and I was like, sure. And then literally,
oh my God,
just as he pulls away, the other guy comes in and he says, I would have given you probably $300 to $400 for all that you had. And I was like,
you did tell him first thing in the morning.
It's okay, you can cry now, Joe.
Oh my God.
And then but the thing is, Joe, I will tell you the happy story that I did now receive, and I did buy another Nintendo original. Funny story with it is I bought it in a very northern town in Alberta off of a mom who grounded her child from playing video games and was going to sell her system. And I got a Nintendo original with all three Mario games plus the Donkey Kong collection for the Nintendo as well, plus I can't remember one other game, and for $100.
Nice.
So
not a bad deal.
Which is funny because it's the exact same way I started, right? Somebody sold my system, and so it's the same thing. I was like, well, that's pretty funny that it all leads back to the same thing. So it was quite nice. But that was my sad retro story. So
still people's grounding kids, yep, from games.
Well, let's wrap this up. I'm sure our listeners would like to take a break. So you can get in touch with us. We actually have an email now. It's gamestuff@provengamer.com. If you'd like to chat with us, visit us on our Facebook page at GameStuff Podcast. Come in and tell us, how did you get into gaming? What is your war stories? Did you do something as stupid as us and get rid of your stuff, not realizing what you're doing? Let us know. You can go to provengamer.com and find all of our lovely articles. While you're there, you can also click on the Amazon link and do all your shopping like you normally would do. It doesn't cost you any money, and it does help out the site. If you like this show, why don't you check out our other shows? We have our flagship show, The Trophy Horse, if you're into the PlayStation. We have Nintendo Dual Screens, which has been fantastic lately. And we have the Smart Marks podcast.
Yay!
For all those wrestling fans out there. Now, before we go, I would like to thank a couple of people. I would like to thank Isaac Sagali. He did our artwork for our podcast.
Isaac Sago.
Sago. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's like Sega, but with an O.
I just have to keep apologizing every podcast at this point.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
You can find him at isaacsago.carbonmade.com. That's isaacsagoeiii.carbonmade.com. And the intro song that you hear, that's from a little band called Take Away the Ugly. The song that we use is called Don't Panic. You can find them on Bandcamp. I really suggest checking them out. They're actually pretty good. So,
yeah, they're pretty rad. Check them out.
Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next time on Game Stuff.
Check you later.